Have you thought about how to answer these kind of questions, like who do you wish to grow old with and what will your future housing look like?
Gosh, I guess I've had sort of idle chats with friends, but I haven't seriously put my mind to it. Not very good at projecting into being old, in denial, I guess.
Oh, look, same here. But as we speak, there's a new live research project that's asking these very questions and a lot more of people not just in their older age groups, but in their 20s and up, because the older model of buying your own home and then selling it to move into an aged care facility is just not going to be possible for these next generations. Check this out.
Well, I'm Laurie Butcher. I'm Sam's grandfather. His mother is my younger daughter, and they've been living with us for 21, maybe 22 years. Yeah.
The Butchers are three generations of family living under one roof. But in case you didn't pick it up, the younger two generations moved into the grandparents' house, not the other way around.
Yeah, it was really cool growing up, and we had our grandparents right there all the time, every day. You know, they picked us up from school. We didn't need a babysitter ever or go to like daycare during holidays because we'd be there every day.
Having multiple generations living under the one roof used to be the way people in many parts of the world used to live and still do.
It's really nice being able to run to your grandparents any chance you can.
However, the great Australian dream of everyone owning their own home kind of put paid to all that. Now, that dream appears to be over.
Thinking about how difficult it's becoming for people to own houses, especially younger people who may not be as wealthy as others.
Jane Court is from Sibling Architecture, and she's a curator of a new interactive display called New Agency, Owning Your Own Future.
The premise of the show is that you need to own a house, essentially, in order to obtain quality aged care.
It's a living research project in which not only are we viewing, but we're also answering, because they want all of us around the country to answer questions online about our housing future. I'll tell you how you can get involved a little later. Okay, so you've taken me to a point.
Yes.
This is where we start our journey into reflecting on what it is we require as we age. I'm looking down a very long corridor. It's about 50 metres at least, maybe more in length. And it's got a relatively low ceiling, but it's concrete and cast iron and grills. But there's slides changing here. And some of these slides are raising issues I've actually put at the very front of our story today. Things like, what happens when we live forever? How will you live in the future? How will you own your future? Own your body? Share your assets. Sharing is care. Welcome to the beginning of the rest of your life. Jane, I'm ready to start now that okay. We've reached that beginning.
I know.
Take me through.
It all starts from here.
Ah, now we have some infographics about ageing in this country.
Showing how the population is moving from more of a bell shape to a coffin shape. I think that's how people generally describe it.
Gee, how lovely of you to say it in such a way.
By 2050, the graph, if you can imagine it, has relatively the same amount of people in each age group as you go down.
Is that right? Because I assume that because we've been told our population is ageing, that we'd have a sort of distorted graph with lots of people making a bulbous end of life and not many at the front.
Yeah, well, I think that would have happened, but we've just experienced so much migrant intake, and that is going to increase over the coming years. We need more young people to look after that bulbous group, essentially, and I think overseas is the easiest place to get them.
So import young people to take care of us.
Yes.
Flippancy aside, that is a really serious question. Who takes care of us? Because in generations gone by, it was either the state or your children.
People aren't necessarily having as many children. People aren't necessarily staying within the nuclear family group. We've put on the table that maybe there are other groups or families that might exist than necessarily a blood relative family.
Jane and I make our way down this low-lit corridor, examining the data projected on the wall Wealthy baby boomers were the first to hold the reins of the housing sector. They bought before house prices skyrocketed and then used their newfound equity in their own home to buy investment properties and all the tax advantages that go with that. And then generation by generation, Australians have tried to replicate that formula. And when they can't, they get left behind.
Well, here we're also looking at Australians' living arrangements, and I guess there's a tendency for older Australians to end up living alone, particularly females at the moment, although that is tending to change. We're also looking at how many spare rooms people tend to have in their houses, which can be quite shocking as well, just to see if there's any opportunities that there might be in the types of living arrangements that currently exist.
Well, I know there's a model these days. I think it started in either Germany or France, where older residents are now offering part of their home to younger people who can't afford.
Yeah, that does exist here, the home share program, and it's a very successful model. So we looked at multi-generational housing, and we looked at the idea of logical family, where groups of people that, as I said before, may not be related might enjoy living together if they share a common interest or religion or sexual persuasion potentially.
So you found examples of that already?
Yeah, definitely.
Jane, can I say, this is like Back to the Future.
I know.
Right? Because what you're talking about here in terms of sharing finances to be able to afford, sharing common values, is some of the very reasons behind people searching for that alternative way of life from urban areas into, you know, northern New South Wales and beyond.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, the baby boomer generation is the generation we're talking about, and they pretty much invented communal living.
So we have an acre and a quarter as part of this land sharing cooperative.
Okay, so this is the inside of our straw bale house. Up this end, we're going to have our kitchen with benches all around. This here is our cool room. So
this could be from 1973, but it's an ABC story from April of this year, where a young couple are building their own home on a large piece of land that they share with more than 70 other families.
This is our sleeping area, so that's the loft. We're already living up there, so it's really comfortable and beautiful, and yeah, we love it.
No fences, no cats, no dogs, and an off-grid house. And as we age, that's just one way of planning for a future where house and community coexist. You're with Life Matters. My name's Michael McKenzie, and I'm touring an exhibition that asks for our input called New Agency, Owning Your Own Future. And with me is Jane Court, the curator from Sibling Architecture. So if we walked into another part of the design hub, which is called the Lazy Susan Resource Station. Welcome to Lazy Susan, it says. Take a seat, have a spin, and read all about it. These are several case studies illustrating different concepts for how we might live together for longer. And as we spin past, what's that one there?
This is an example of an ancient Chinese multi-generational living model. So the Tulu, an entire clan would live in this donut-shaped enclave, essentially, and each segment of that donut becomes a family house.
And each segment is a separate family unto itself.
Yes, exactly.
So within that donut could be enough people to basically house a small village.
Yeah, it is essentially a village. They were a nomadic people, so they needed a strong fortification.
Oh, I like that. So that's a Tulu.
Yeah, that's a Tulu.
Okay, if we move this Lazy Susan around a bit more, what have we got here?
The Baba Yaga house, which is a very lovely model from Paris originally, where women, finding that they might be alone without much financial aid, found that if they were able to pool their resources and lobby government for funding and all live together and help each other in a sharing, caring model, it's just a much better way of spending their older age than being in a home.
All right, shall we then partake of the survey?
Yes.
Okay.
We want everyone to take part.
Everyone in Australia.
Everyone in Australia.
All right, cool. All right, so here we go. How much interaction do you have with elderly people or people in their old age? I work with elderly people and interact with them on a daily basis. Somewhat agree. And Amanda, that's an example of one of the questions in this online survey. It's a survey seriously for all age groups, because where we live and where we choose to live when we get older needs policymakers to know what we want and to think outside, I reckon, some pretty often lonely boxes that we live in right now when we get older. There's a link up on the Life Matters website, and a big thank you to Jane Court from Sibling Architects and the team from the RMIT Design Hub in Melbourne for letting me rampage through the space with them. It's actually an amazing building, and I plan to move into it when I'm 80.
I'll move in with you, Michael.
Great.
We can do Life Matters from there.
Okay, great. Just the two of us.
Good on you. Thank you. Let's talk soon. Cheers.